Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Letitia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook. Or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Letitia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today we have Cam. So Cam, why don't you introduce yourself?
Thank you very much, Letitia, for having me here. My name is Cam Knight. I'm a mentor, international speaker, and author of a dozen books in the area of mental, emotional, and physical performance. And that's probably a good introduction to get us started.
Yes. Well, I am excited to have you here today. So as we get started, why don't you tell me, how would you describe survival mode?
So how I would describe survival mode is when a person is working and busy and they have goals and aspirations and other things that they want to do, but they can't get to them because other priorities keep coming up or distract them and take them away from it. And every time they tell themselves, once they finish this, or once they get over this hurdle, or once they get over, you know, this block, they will have time for their goal and aspirations. But they never seem to be able to get over the hurdle or the block. And it just goes on for an extended period of time where they can't really feel like they're moving anywhere. Although they're doing a lot of things, they're not really moving the direction that they want. And they tend to feel drained, exhausted, and there tends to be a lot of anxiety and fear in that mode, which is really what's driving them.
Mm-hmm. I agree wholeheartedly. As someone who recognizes that I spent over 2 decades in survival mode, It was just working but running in place, you know, and on autopilot, as I often describe. So Can you tell us a bit more about your story and your very interesting perspective that I would love to share with the audience.
Yes. So as I mentioned, I'm an author of a dozen books in the area of mental, emotional, and physical performance. And for as far back as I could remember, I have been a fairly driven individual. I've always wanted to do more, have more, and be more in life. And although I've had my fair share of success, I always felt like I missed the mark, fell short, or the success was much more stressful than it needed to be. And I always wondered why that was. Why is it if I want to do something, I know what to do, I know how to do it, and I have the motivation and desire to do it, but for one reason or another, I can't or don't do it. Now, at the time, there were no clear answers. A lot of the books and material that I came across would say things like, you need to have beliefs or motivation and discipline. And I do think those are all part of the equation, but I always felt like there was more to it. And over the last 15 to 20 years, that question lingered in my mind. Every time I felt stuck, I wondered why. Why can't I get stuff done? Why do I keep spinning my wheels? Why don't I just do this dang thing so I can get the result that I want? And the more books I read, coaching I did, and seminars I attended, the more I learned about the complexity of the human brain. And over time, I began to realize that, hey, wait a minute, there's a part of our mind built to keep us from growing. There's a part of our brain that's designed to hold us back and keep us from making progress. And I call this part resistance. And it's a brick wall that we hit anytime that we want to do something, but we can't.
Very interesting. I think one of the things that I've explored in my time as becoming trauma informed, as well as becoming a coach, was really understanding the nuances of our subconscious brain and how its number one rule is to keep us safe. But safety isn't how we define it in the world, right? Like in the world, safety is removing us from things that can injure us or removing us from things that can emotionally hurt us. But oftentimes, when we're in survival mode, we are there for an extended period of time, which then it becomes almost an homeostasis, right? So survival mode for me is being constantly in fight, flight, fawn, or freeze. And if it happens for an extended period of time, that becomes the homeostasis. So then we're moving away from fight, flight, fawn, or freeze. Our subconscious mind is like, wait a minute, no, because this is safety. This is normal. So it's when you talk about the resistance, that internal resistance in particular, it makes sense when you consider the subconscious brain and how it works.
Totally. And there's a couple of things that you said that I think are important to expand on. One is when we're in this mode of survival, what's really interesting is we don't realize we're in that mode, which is why it perpetuates for so long. Only when we start burning out, getting exhausted, and things, start kind of falling apart in our lives, and we seek help, we realize, oh my gosh, we were in survival mode this whole time. And just understanding it doesn't really necessarily help us get out. We do have to take action. Now, it is important to understand all the unconscious stuff because it is driving a lot of our conscious thinking as well as our behavior. So if I can take the explanation of resistance even further to help people understand what's going on, is that the part of the mind that creates wants and desires, it works separately and independent of the part that allows you to act on those desires. So this is extremely important. The part of the brain that creates wants and desires works separate from the part that allows us to act on it. So we have one part of the mind that's creating wants, and it's more or less just creating endless wants. It doesn't check to see if you have the time, energy, or resources to achieve the want. It simply creates it. And then you have this other part, which I call resistance. It's a part that checks to see if the want is safe and worth doing. So, in many ways, this is our defense mechanism. And what's really important to understand about this dynamic is that it's possible for the brain to create a desire for something and at the same time hold us back from achieving it. And this is where people kind of get hung up. It's like, well, I want this thing, so why can't I do it? I should just be able to do it. And when they're not able to do it, they get into self-beat up and other kinds of negative thinking, like I'm not good enough, something's wrong with me, and all of that. And if they can understand that just because you want something doesn't mean your brain will let you go after it, it can help them to not feel like there's something wrong with them, but understand what that part is. And you kind of touched on some of the things as what it could be. One reason resistance shows up is when we're trying to do something that goes against our comfort zone. We do like, the brain does like comfort. As much as it likes the new and wants to do new things and grow, there's a part that likes comfort. And that part will create resistance when a desire to do something new or grow comes up. But there are even deeper reasons. And some of the more commonly known ones have to do with our beliefs. Like if we have poor beliefs about ourselves or the world, that'll come up. Our habits play into it. Our identity and self-image play into it. But it can go even deeper into things like core needs, authority issues, and much more.
Yes, that is so interesting that you mentioned beliefs, because whenever I talk about accident survival mode, I talk about the three phases that I believe are important in order to move us forward. The first is self-awareness. We can change what we cannot see. The second is reprogramming, being able to challenge the narratives, the beliefs, the conditioning, culture, tradition, all of that needs to be challenged, because oftentimes that creates the it no, not oftentimes, every time, that is what creates who we are as a person. And oftentimes, without challenging that, we just continue on. And the audience has heard me say this: we recycle 95% of our thoughts, and if we're not challenging them, nothing changes. And then the third phase is a reinvention, being able to move beyond our survival identities and really step into a complete ownership of oneself and one's future. So when you mentioned being able to challenge your belief systems, I also think it too is aligned with your desirability. Right. A lot of times we have these desires and wants, and the core of our resistance to being able to achieve them is that we don't believe that we deserve our desires and wants. So is that something that you can elaborate on a bit more?
100%. So I want to first start by saying that the word beliefs gets thrown out a lot, and the people using the word have a strong understanding and experience of what the word means, especially when you know you've done your work. Though I don't think everyone fully understands, so I'm going to share a quick story that'll get people on the same page. So several years ago, I was at the beach in Chicago, and I met a woman who was telling me that she was a model but wanted to move up to starting her own modeling agency in Miami. I asked her why Miami and not New York or LA, as those cities are the hotspots for the industry. She said because it'd be too difficult to get in. Now, in her mind, she had a belief that starting a modeling agency in New York or LA were too difficult. Now, whether or not that belief is true, it influenced her decision to start the agency in Miami. So in many ways, a belief is simply a thinking of what's true, what's possible, and our available options. Now, what's really interesting about this story is that we have beliefs about what's possible to do in the world and what's possible for us. So we can believe something is possible, but not believe it's possible for us. So in this case, we might think it's possible to start a modeling agency in New York and LA, but not for us. Others can do it, but not me. It won't happen for me. So it's important to consider both the beliefs of what's possible and what's possible for us, because we might think something is possible, but deep down have this core belief that it's not possible for us. And that thing will hold us back from going after it. And although we think we can achieve the success as we start to move forward with it, our brain, our resistance, will create roadblocks and hurdles and challenges to keep us from going and moving forward, because that belief just doesn't feel like we can have it. And so going back to what you asked, yeah, we can have these wants and desires. And again, the want doesn't check to see if our belief is in line with it. It just simply creates the wants. So we can want to move forward, start an agency, or do these things. And then resistance comes up and says, hey, wait a minute, that is not aligned with your belief. You don't have positive beliefs about yourself. You don't think you're capable and all of that. And so we're just going to hold us back.
It's very interesting that you mentioned that part about belief, right? Because a lot of people are removed from understanding how thinking, our thoughts, impact our actions. And even me, I think one of the greatest elements of my healing was understanding the connection between feelings, emotions, thoughts, and actions. That changed everything for me, because although I knew that my emotions could change the way that I show up in the world, I really didn't understand the correlation. And I think so many people hit roadblocks because they aren't aware that our actions actually start with our thoughts. So if our beliefs are not aligned with the goals or our desired actions, like you said, our brain will find ways, like roadblocks. And I often use the analogy of invisible fencing. And for those who don't know, it's like a collar. And I don't know how humane this is, but I'll say this. It's a collar that you'll put on a dog, and there is a perimeter around your property that they probably, I don't, I've never seen it set up, but they probably dig and put something underground. Once that dog gets past that point, it is shocked by the color. And most times the dog will retreat back to within the property lines. The same happens in our mind, right?
Yes.
When we have these actions or desires and wants, and we go to take action, and we don't believe that it is possible for us, we get shocked. We will get shocked and push back into the property line, back into our comfort zone, right? So it's really important, I think, before taking action, to be able to sit down and examine your beliefs and get honest with yourself, because sometimes we're not necessarily honest with ourselves. I'm a person who is highly delusional, quote unquote delusional. And I've had people tell me that I am delusional. However, my beliefs match my delusions, which then allows me to achieve things that people think are impossible.
Yeah, or delusional.
Yes. So it really comes down to those belief systems, which then give birth to our actions or lack thereof.
Yeah, for sure. So what I can say is that when we're in our heads and we're thinking the thoughts that we're thinking and feeling, we don't realize that there's another way of thinking. Like, we just think that's true. And when someone tries to challenge it, like, no, you can do more, or this is possible, because it's so valid in our head, we can't even see it. We just think who we are in our heads, and the thoughts that are coming up are 100% the way it is. And when someone tries to say something different, we can't even, we start thinking they're delusional because it's just so in line with it. And what's really important for people to understand is that we have voices of our desires and we also have voices of our resistance. They're both your voices. One's pushing you forward and the other's holding you back. And so it's really important to understand all of your thoughts in your head, they're not all your thoughts. Some of those thoughts are from resistance, trying to say, no, don't go there, don't move forward. It's that shock mechanism you talked about that pulls us back into our comfort zone or safe area. And if a person can start becoming more critical of the thoughts that they're thinking, understanding the fact that just because the thoughts are in their head, it doesn't mean that it's their thoughts. It can be a good starting point for people to start to at least entertain the idea of something more or a new possibility. And from there, it can segue into to other things. Though I do also want to stress, we've talked quite a bit about beliefs, but when it comes to resistance, beliefs is just one part of the equation. There are other things, as I had mentioned, habits play into it, comfort zones play into it, but then some of the things that don't get talked about, like self-image, the core needs, authority issues, those are important to consider too, because once we get our beliefs in line, if a person is still stuck, or the progress is slow, it could be other causes that are holding us back. And a great way to understand this is that anytime we do have a want and desire, it gets evaluated by resistance using a whole host of criteria. And if the desire is not in line with any of the criteria, the brain will prevent action. So it helps to think about standing in front of a board of directors or a panel of judges. Every desire that comes up must go through all of them. And if even one of the members is against the idea, it will not pass. It helps. So it's like anytime you have a desire, your brain's like, well, is it in line with my beliefs? Yes, check. Does it take us out of our comfort zone? Yes. So I'm not going to let them do it. But if we push past that comfort zone, other things can come up, like some of the things that I mentioned. Yeah.
So, since we're here, let's talk about how we tackle resistance. And this is why I often say healing is there's not a destination of healed, right? It's an ongoing journey, and you spoke to that just now. Like, you get
Distance, yeah.
yes. Let's talk about how we, what type of processes do we need to do other
Yeah.
than checking our beliefs and our habits that
Yeah.
allows us to really get past the resistance so that we can start achieving things, achieving our wants and our desires?
Yeah. Okay, so I'll show you kind of how the process works. So the brain creates a want, and then resistance checks to see if the want is safe and worth doing, right? And so it really helps to know what about the resistance that is holding us back. And then there's a process which I call tricks of resistance, which is if the mind is going to tell you, if the mind is going to hold you back from doing something, it doesn't tell you that. It's not going to say, hey, Letitia, this thing that you're trying to do goes against your beliefs, so I can't let you do it. Or that thing that you're attempting goes against your habits, so we're just going to sit here and do nothing. That's not what happens. Resistance manifests other ways. Resistance uses a lot of manipulative tricks, and it's really important to understand the tricks so you're not manipulated by them. So I'll talk about how people can figure out what their resistance is and then talk more about the concept of the tricks. So a great way to understand what's holding you back is to create a self-talk statement of the change that you want to have or have happen. For example, let's say you want to become a more confident communicator. You repeat the statement, I'm a strong, confident communicator. And as you're repeating it, I'm a strong, confident communicator, I'm a strong, confident communicator, your mind is going to react to that statement. It'll say things like, no, you're not. you're a loser or you're a dork, and it'll trigger memories of times where you weren't that, or other things will get triggered. All of that is a sign of your resistance and your beliefs and all of that. And so that's really important to pay attention to, because you're going to get a lot of data when you say, I am this, and your brain starts battling with it. So that's how you kind of find out what's holding you back, what it is internally where you feel like it won't happen. Your brain might say things like, this is too difficult, or it's too hard, or this is for only a certain type of people. I've helped or worked with people who have resistance because of their demographics. They think because they're a certain sex or come from a certain part of the world, they can't have certain success. And their mind will say that. It'll say things like, oh yeah, but you're of this, so it won't happen for you. And so you get a lot of data. Though what's even more important is how the resistance manifests. Like I said, when resistance shows up, it doesn't tell you, but uses tricks. And it has so many tricks up its sleeve. And I'll kind of give examples of some of the tricks. One of the tricks is that it'll make us push the task, activity, or goal off till later. And I have an awesome story to share about this. When I was in South Africa, I heard a woman speak about her journey of addiction. She described a pattern that addicts fall into that she herself fell into. She said, many addicts know what they're doing is wrong. When they're searching for their next hit, a part of their mind knows that they should stop. Though a deceptive, sneaky little trick keeps them from stopping, and that is, they tell themselves, after the next hit, I'll stop. After the next one, I'll stop. I just need to do it one more time, but after, I'll stop. And when they say it, they're convinced that they'll stop. Absolutely convinced. In their mind, they truly believe after the next one, they'll stop. The reason I bring this up is because I know everyone listening here is doing this in some area of their life. A desire comes up, and in that moment, a thought surfaces that says, I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it this week. I'll do it next week. I'll do it next time. And when they say it, they're convinced they'll do it later and tomorrow. Absolutely convinced. But when the later or next arrives, they keep pushing it off to the next and next and next until one of two things happens. One is they're married, have two kids, and a stressful job. Or they completely forget the goal altogether. So it's really important to be aware when you hear yourself say the words next, later, or one more time, because it's often a trick of resistance trying to push you off from doing it until later. And then once later comes, you'll push it off later and later until you forget about it or you're too busy. So this is what I mean by the tricks. And we have other tricks the mind uses too, like it'll make excuses, or it'll say things like, once I get there, like once I graduate, once I find a job, once I so and so, I'll have the time, energy, and motivation to do the thing that I'm avoiding now. But once a person arrives at the there, they keep pushing it off. And these tricks run pretty deep, so deep that what I try to teach people is that most anything that's holding you back is likely a trick. Even when you get sick or get into a car accident. Because when you're sick or in a car accident, you can't do anything. And when you can't do anything, you're not making progress and you're actually regressing. And it's a perfect trick of resistance that stops forward progress.
You touched on so many things, but you brought up an interesting point where to be able to test your resistance, you say something out loud, and then you will hear these thoughts that come up. And oftentimes, and I want to say this just because, oftentimes that's why affirmations don't work, right? We don't push farther when we say I am this and I am that, and the resistance is very clear. We just keep on going with it, keep on going with it without challenging or digging deeper into the resistance so that we can rewrite those beliefs. And then we get mad that the affirmations aren't working. And
No.
one of the key things I learned with an affirmation, and I've been aware of this, but maybe not in the way that you've explained it, right? But anytime I started introducing affirmations and I felt a resistance, the key word for me was yet, or
Yet,
like
yeah.
telling myself, I previously may not have been, or I
Yeah.
might have been this, but I am also this. And that yet, like I haven't achieved it yet. It doesn't close the loop of the impossibility.
No.
It's just providing proof that it's possible and that I need to do some work in order to achieve it. And I
Exactly.
think, it's so key for us to be able to get to a point to, first of all, listen to what our brain is telling us, listen to our thoughts, because it gives birth to our abilities. And this goes back to awareness, right? It gives
Yeah.
birth to the ability to change path,
Yeah.
to question the beliefs, to disprove them as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's important. And then moving forward to the tricks.
Yeah. The tricks are
Great
huge.
story, right? Like, all of us have delayed. All
All
of
of
us
us.
have said it one more time, or when I get to this point. And I think when we do that, it is so key for us now, especially, the audience who are listening to this, to push past,
Yeah.
to challenge ourselves. If we say, okay, well, I'll do it in 5 minutes, no, I'll do it now for
Exactly.
5 minutes. I'll do it now for 5 minutes. And then I'll do it again for 5 minutes instead of delaying it. Like, oftentimes, the reason why we are unable to achieve the things that we want to achieve is because we don't commit to
Yeah.
achieving them, even though we may say it or think it or even write it down.
Yeah.
It's a conscious decision to commit to you.
Yeah.
And yes, the resistance is there, but your decision to move past that is exactly what will take you
Yeah.
beyond where you are now.
Yeah. I mean, you said a couple of things that were very valuable. I love the comments you made about affirmation, that it does have its challenges. And when these negative reactions to our mind come up, we might think, oh, the affirmations don't work or they couldn't work, and then we stop. And as you were also alluding to, affirmations do have power. So it doesn't mean that we stop. We can just kind of tweak it by saying, all right, I don't have it yet, but in the future. Or we could say, I am moving in that direction, or I am becoming more towards that. And affirmations are huge. Because when it comes to resistance, it's really important to take small steps that lead to big outcomes. Little things that you do that help you take the bigger steps. So with resistance, it's about doing the little things. Whereas there's another side of personal development, which is about going all in, pushing as hard as you can, no pain and no gain, and in a sense, like an extreme, going to the extreme and getting as much done. There are two models that don't work with each other, meaning if you're someone who has resistance, this model is just not going to work. You got to go for one day at a time, one step at a time, the little things. What I'm trying to get at with all this is that affirmations and self-talk are those little things that can make huge progress in a person's life. In fact, I have two sets of self-talk that I essentially give to everybody, and it resonates with everybody who is stuck. And it took me over 15 years traveling to over 100 countries to narrow it down to these two statements. Do you think you would be interested, or your audience, in hearing
Yes.
it? Okay.
I don't know
So,
about my audience, but I
yeah.
definitely am, Cam.
All right, perfect. So the two statements are, I am a do it now person. I easily do things now, and I easily accomplish my goals right away. And I'm deserving, have permission, and can have good things. So I'm going to break down the psychology of why these two statements are so effective. I'm a do it now person creates the identity slash beliefs or self-image of a that you're a person who does things now. So when you do have a desire, you're not going, I'll do it later. You do it now. But doing things isn't always easy as much as we want to do them. It can be painful and create a lot of strain. So that's why I added, I easily do things now, because it conditions the brain to do things and in an easier way. And it's easy to do a lot of things, but spin in circles, like you said, running in place. So I added the statement, I easily accomplish my goals right away because it's forward thinking on a direction. And even though you may not have a goal right now, by just saying I easily accomplish my goals right away, your brain starts thinking about it. So if a person can regularly affirm, I'm a do it now person, I easily do things now, I easily accomplish my goals right away, it'll naturally start having them do and take more actions and actions that are more directed towards a direction they want to go. The I deserve, have permission, and I'm having good things. It's also important because working with my clients and taking people into the unconscious and my own, I've come to realize one of the core blocks we have is of undeserving. Deep down, we don't deserve or feel like we deserve to have the success for whatever that reason. And a lot of our challenges is really coming down to this core thing. So when you say, I deserve, you're changing that inner programming. The other aspect has to do with permission. One thing I also noticed is people are looking for permission to do and have what they're looking to do and have. And they pay big money to coaches and go to seminars to have them tell them, to have them give them permission. And the reason is, since we were young, we were always told what to do and how, what not to do and when to do it. So the brain learned that we need permission. And so we're just seeking permission. But if you can say, I have permission, you're giving yourself permission. And then I deserve, have permission, and I'm having good things. And I'm having good things is just the act of you receiving those things you deserve and want permission for. And you can replace that with, and I'm having great things, or and I'm having a loving relationship, or whatever you're seeking. And if a person repeats those two statements regularly, meaning every day, they can do it in the morning when they wake up, in the evening when they're about to go to bed, while cooking, cleaning, driving, or all of those times, things will just naturally start shifting for them. They don't have to put so much conscious effort because the programming is happening internally, and they'll find themselves doing more things more easily and having those things that they're wanting.
That's so powerful, Cam. Like really, really powerful. And
It's huge.
I just want to add one piece to that to
Okay, sure.
someone who may not be ready to make that bold statement. I say, switch it and ask yourself a question.
Okay.
How can I
Yes.
become a do it now person? How can I give myself permission? How can I deserve?
Yeah.
The brain can't resist the question. So even in this moment where you may not feel like you are aligned with that statement, start asking yourself
So how?
questions.
Yeah.
How? Because I promise you, even if it takes a week, a month, your brain will find the answer to that. And then it's moving into the
Yeah.
statement.
Yeah. Another good point. A lot of people don't realize that in our brain, we have a mechanism that's designed to seek answers anytime a question is asked. So whether the question's asked by you or someone else, it doesn't matter. It triggers this mechanism and it begins thinking of possible answers and brings them into your awareness. So a person can ask two opposing questions and that it'll trigger the brain to seek answers to both. So you might ask yourself, why are kids so messy? And or why are kids so annoying? And the brain will come up with answers like they're messy, they're loud, they're out of control. But if you ask the same, a different question, why are kids so lovable? Your brain will look for answers to that question and it'll say it's because they're full of love and joy and all of that. So it doesn't matter what question you ask, all that matters is asking the question. So if we can use, we can actually use that feature of the brain to help us guide us in the direction we want. We can say things like, how can I do this thing? Or if we're feeling stuck and our brain is telling us we're a loser and it's going to be too hard, we can just change that thinking by asking a question. What can I do to move past it? And similar to the questions you had suggested, if people start asking those questions, the brain isn't going to say that's not true. It's just going to look for the reason, or it's just going to look for the answers to the specific question you're asking. What's really important to understand about this is that oftentimes people revert to asking negative questions, which is why. They'll say, why can't I get stuff done? Why isn't this working for me? Why do I keep doing this? And they're not realizing they're just nailing the coffin to their own grave, because now the brain will start getting coming answers to why. And it'll say things like, well, you're a dork and you're a loser and you don't have motivation and you don't have discipline. And it just reinforces that, it brings you down, and it's hard to move forward. But if you can just shift the why to how or what, then we can start getting better thoughts in our head. And as you had said in the beginning of this podcast, it all begins with our thoughts.
Cam, this has
Yeah.
been such an amazing conversation. Thank you so much. Tell us a bit more about the work that you do and how we can find you online.
Okay, so I have a course called Conquer Internal Resistance to Achieve Your Next Goal. It's a deep dive into the to understanding what's going on internally in our unconscious that's driving our behaviors, or in this case, not driving the behaviors that we want. And what we talked about is just a snippet of what I have in the course. And people can find that at camknight.com, KamKnight.com. And also, I have a free guide for your listeners. It's 5 ways to end procrastination and sabotage. And these aren't any surface level insights. They go really deep into the psychology of what's holding us back. And once we can become aware of these so-called tricks that are holding us back, we can move forward with it. And they can access that guide by texting the word flow, FLOW, to 26786. And that's a free guide, and it's a really good primer for understanding this concept. And again, I think it'll be very, very helpful.
Well, thank you so much. We'll make sure that information is in the show notes. So before we wrap it all up, Cam, one last key takeaway for the audience to action.
Okay, this is huge. I want people to understand that wanting doesn't equate to having. Just because you want something doesn't mean you'll take the necessary steps to get it. And this is very important because it's easy to assume when we get triggered with the desire, our body floods us with all these positive emotions that make us feel like, yes, this is going to happen, I'm going to do it. But once the feelings fade, we're not doing anything. In fact, we're procrastinating. And if a person can understand that just when they want to do something, a part of their brain is going to put up a fight, they can be more prepared. And the way to defeat the enemy is to understand the enemy and to know about the enemy. But if you go in blindly, once resistance come up, you won't even know it came up because you won't understand the tricks and you'll be kind of stuck. But once you can understand that, hey, there's going to be a fight that I can prepare for, just by understanding that can make that fight easier. In fact, it can actually just make it go away. So that's a last a tip I want to leave for your audience to know that wanting doesn't equate to having. And if a person wants to do something, they should be prepared to go in knowing that they're going to have detours and hurdles coming their way. And that'll help them stay in the game longer.
Prepare for the hurdles, the game to come. Thank
Yeah.
you so much, Cam. Thank you so much for your time on Survival Mode Disrupted. Audience, thank you for catching another episode. And I just want to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracked something open on purpose. Because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth: you're not broken. You're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it. Don't numb it. Move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Like, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.